Yes, sir.
I would like to begin by giving a kind of an introduction, very short, 1 minute introduction to how we came about our discussion the other day. And today with your presentation.
Great.
Okay. So Maharaj has mentioned several times over the course of our association with him for maybe 1 or 2 years here that or his work with the Anjana Academy and how possibly maybe one day we might want to consider utilizing what he's doing in our own Sangha. So we had a conversation the other day, and I found it very interesting, but I was a little anxious that when I presented it to the devotees to see if they may be interested in it, in our Sangha, that I wouldn't present it in the right way. And lo and behold, when I presented it to a few devotees, it was not received with the greatest enthusiasm, and I think that was really a shame. So I really, really wanted Maharaj to explain what he's doing and how maybe it's something that we might want to incorporate into our e-sangha. So I think that's good enough for a start of an introduction to what we're talking about. Maybe now at this time I could give you the floor, Maharaj. And I'm not going to mute anybody. That way, if anyone has any questions as we go along, they can go ahead and ask.
Can you give me the screen thing there? I'll show you some stuff.
Absolutely. Okay. I sent you an invitation.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Okay, there was something weird happening here. Okay. Let's do this. Insert. Roddy. There you go. Okay. Okay. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayat. What's the other one there? Mukam karoti vachalam pangun vangai te garim yakibhata maham vande shri gurundira tarina. Okay. So probably just kind of briefly, I guess you can see the screen, is that, Prabhupada suggested several degrees, for devotees to study the book systematically. It was Bhakti Shastri, and then Bhakti by Bhava, and then Bhakti Vedanta, and later on Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. After that, I guess you become an avatar. There you go. Okay. Okay. So myself, I have this nature, academic nature, and so on. So I ended up in that kind of service. I'm not a very good cook, but I can survive. And so right now, technically speaking, I'm on the executive committee of the Ministry of Education. Yeah, and Sesha Das is the of course the minister. Okay, miser. Okay, minister, and a devotee Ram. Giri Bari Das is the executive secretary. Okay, he does the work like that. Okay. And so, so the ministry's trying to just promote different educational programs, and the idea is like pearls strung on a thread. The ministry's going to act more like just an agency to coordinate people's individual efforts, and as things develop, the different kinds of certification or whatever, and so on. And so, just in general perspective, there's this regular lifelong education starting from preschool. There's preschool systems available now, like in a Montessori school. So those kind of systems are actually practically tangibly developing. So there's preschool, primary school, secondary school system is going along, but it's not as developed, but it's going along. Then, of course, after that, there's university education. And Radhik Raman did a very nice presentation at our national symposium in July. It was maybe the first one in maybe 20 years or something, 30 years, in the North American Symposium on Education in Houston, and plans to have one next year. And so he did a very nice presentation on, because there are several devotees who are very respected professors at universities now, and you can go ahead and study in various different areas and do very practical stuff for dovetailing your work and also make money in a career. And the Bhaktivedanta College is going on.
Is he photographing?
Yeah. So we have Shastric education, regular lifelong education from preschool to becoming a professor, homeschooling, the philosophy of education, what's behind all this basically is what are the goals, how does it work? And then within this whole area, then there's also Shastric education. Of course, Shastric education should tie in with everything else. Specifically, the degrees that Prabhupada proposed were Bhakti Shastri, and that's kind of worked down to being Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Instruction, Isopanishad, and the Western part of first part of Nectar of Devotion, like that. And then the Bhakti by Baba Prabhupada suggested, and Prabhupada said all the Brahmanas should have this. So I don't know if it's actually a formal requirement now or not, but if it's not, it's pretty much getting there, that everybody have some kind of Bhakti Shastri certification before they take second initiation. Okay. Then Bhakti by Baba Prabhupada said, all the sannyasis should have this title. And he suggested first six cantos. And then Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada suggested the full Bhagavatam. Yeah, and he always would say, and the previous books. So it's not that you learn something and forget it. No, it's that your later study enhances your previous studies. When you're studying the Bhagavatam, of course, you become more and more learned it in the Gita, Bhagavad Gita. And then finally, Bhakti Sarvabhauma was to include Chaitanya Charitamrita. So on like that. So as a stand, so there's a ISKCON board, BORF, okay, of examiners, and a lot of work, little pay, and they're trying to establish some kind of practical standard for these things. So for Bhakti Shastri, anybody who takes the examination and passes it can get a Bhakti Shastri exam certificate. There's no standard curriculum required or anything else. And it's a certain number of verses you've got to memorize, and you'll be tested. Maybe there's 50 verses or something, you'll be tested on like 15. And a certain number of short essay questions, like write a paragraph on what is karma or something, how to get free from it. And then it's a series of maybe 50 or something, 25, maybe 5 essay questions in the test and 25 short answer questions. And every year the Board of Examiners generate their own test, and the individual centers that are certified can also generate their tests if they want to, like that, so on. So, in North America, we just worked on this as in our area, and so right now we have a certified Bhakti Shastri Center in San Francisco and in Houston, and others are doing it, giving their certificates, but they're working sometimes through through Europe, In Europe, there's the VTE, which was established for a long time, so some people are giving diplomas through them. Another one is the Mayapur Institute, which you may know about, with Atul Krishna and Krishnanagar. And then also in India, the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, where, of course, Burijam was very responsible for starting it, but now other devotees are involved. And then maybe in South Africa, of course, there was a very strong program there. I think Bhakti Chaitanya Swami and Brihat Mridanga, Marge, were working on that. So a lot of places doing steady work, but intermittent. Okay. So the Bhakti, where to go here? So the Bhakti Bhai Bhava examination, that study we were doing, was the first six cantos, and I'll show you the norms for that. Where is it here? GBC Bhai Bhavas. GBC. Okay. Oh, I see that. It's the next page here. I'm sorry. Standards for awarding the Bhakti Bhai Bhava degree. Okay. Any ISKCON center can apply for recognition by the Board of Examiners as a Bhakti Bhai Bhava degree awarding center, provided the center certifies it will conduct its program according to the following standards. The application must be accompanied by a description of the planned program together with the names of the teachers and administrators. So you can see for the Bhakti Bhai Bhava certificate, they've gone much more serious about it, that you have to study within an approved program. And it was a liberal, approved program, and besides just passing the examinations. Okay, well, the candidate must have a Bhakti Shastri degree, okay? Now, that means you can get that any time during the study program. You haven't got to have it before you start. The candidate has to be a ISKCON devotee or a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya devotee, which is interesting. The candidate has to certify he or she chants their rounds and follows principles. And they have to have recommendation from an ISKCON authority who knows them well and can certify they've been engaged in Sankirtan movement well for the last 3 years. Learning outcome assessments. Okay. Knowledge and understanding of the philosophy contained in cantos 1 through 6. Knowledge and memorization, knowing and memorizing at least 70 verses. 70 verses, okay. Competence as a Bhagavad speaker and preacher, personal behavior that reflects the principles found in the Bhagavatam, competency in evaluating peers and receiving evaluation from peers in regard to the above-mentioned things. Okay, where we go here? And a certain percentage for Easting like that. Okay. Okay. So you have to write about about 20,000 words of essays. Now, but this is, of course, for the entire first six cantos. You got to have to answer 200 short answer questions. So this is basically 100 pages. It's 100 pages of essays, 200 pages of 200 short answer questions, and make 4 oral presentations of at least 30 minutes, and memorize 70 verses. Okay, that's about it. 70 verses, 100 pages of essays, and 200 short answer questions, and read all the books and have a certain amount of time. Okay. So what we're doing when we got it set up, we made our application. For San Jose, with Vaisheshika Center there, and got approved. Texas got approved. Now we're trying to get it approved also in with Braj Bihari over in D.C. And then we'll have all three places covered. And people, a lot of people are doing it online because, it's not like that many people go all the way through all these degrees and diplomas and stuff. This is basically like a bachelor's degree diploma. When you finish this off, you're ready to start your master's degree. You're ready to start your sannyas life. So what we're doing, for example, in San Francisco is one idea. I'll give you one. Because if you're in Hawaii, you can do other things, different things. Yeah. In Mayapur, for example, their program is you study, I think, for 9 months off campus, maybe like three cantos. And you have questions, answers, and not a lot of interaction with the online teacher, just kind of like grading the papers and making a few comments. And of course, all these programs are in development. There's no like ideal program yet. We're all pioneering to do this. So then you come to Mayapur and you stay there for 3 months continuously. And then from like 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there are continuous classes with a break. And so you go over the same material again, but now with a teacher and fellow students, and you review everything, you know. And so the system, I've taught there and worked with them and stuff, and they're definitely in the process of, you know, reorganizing and making it practical and everything else like that. So that's their program. The program we've set up and we're doing is we try and do about one chapter a week, memorize one verse a week, and write one page of essays a week. And so it's kind of a simple rhythm. You get into it. Okay, this is my chapter this week. You know. And we have chapter study guides. So like just today, for example, we met on our there's three groups in San Francisco now. One group starting the first two cantos, the second year, third canto, fourth year, fourth canto. And that's where the third group is. And our group is in the last section, which is cantos 5 and 6. So 1 year for the first two cantos, 1 year for the third canto, 1 year for the fourth canto, and 1 year for the cantos 5 and 6. And it's actually a change in heart. You really see it. It's not just like academic studies. You go through, it really changes your consciousness and your tolerance and your appreciation for Krishna in so many ways. And it leads the devotees to work together. Solve so many problems within the temples many times. So we just finished off chapter 20 today, fifth canto, chapter 20. And now then chapter 21 study guide should be ready. And then there's like, you know, this question is just to keep you awake. You know, what's this thing? What's that thing? You know, study. But also then the idea is that the questions, a lot of the questions should be questions that you should know. You know, any Bhakti Bhai Baba should know, like, you know, what is the structure of the universe in terms of the, you know, the Bhumandal, Jambadweep, you know, the Varshas, like that and stuff. Not in great detail, but as much as Prabhupada kind of presents like that. You know? And why did Maharaj Pariksit ask about these things? What was his motivation? You know? Okay, and so then we go through it's divided very nicely into modules. The first module is preface, introduction, and Sutta to the Sages, which is chapters 1, 2, 3. Second module is Narada to Vyas, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Next one is, the kids are carrying on a debate here. Next one is Sutta to the Sages, Narada to Vyas. Then after that, there's events immediately after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Then more remote events, and finally the meeting, you know, of Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami, which is chapters like 16, 17, 18, 19. So about three or four chapters each module. In the end of each module, we have end of each module, we have a review. And then at the end of each semester, we have an extra review. And all the questions in the semester review, that's the only place the questions come from for the examination. If you know the semester review questions, you know what questions you're going to be asked like that. It's no surprise. And so it's a lot of work refining this and keeping it interesting. And you know, so then everybody has a study partner the way we're doing it. And we rotate those. In the beginning, there's some tension. Well, I don't want a study partner. But after a while, you begin to see it actually is nice to get together. I get together Friday morning with Srivas Pundit. He's in San Jose. I'm in Tennessee or traveling. And before he goes to work, and we then go with his, you know, our realizations on the study guides and how they should be edited and our essays. And it's very nice discussing it with another devotee. And Saturday morning, somebody is the presenter, almost always a PowerPoint show. And somebody else is chief guest. We use a start meeting, like you all. And then everybody else mutes their microphones, and we go through it, and the chief guest like, you know, keeps the speaker tuned in, if it can be heard or not. And then after that, then we go around, everybody makes their individual comments and that kind of stuff. And almost always takes an hour and a half, you know, for the entire thing. And we can record those and stuff like that, you know. So that's basically the idea. Then everybody, every now and again, get together physically, you know. And also have, what's it called? What's the name for it? Expert speakers or something. So if you have devotees passing through the community, just ask them in advance, can you talk on this module of Devahuti and Kardama Muni? You know, or can you talk on this module of the Daksha Yajna? You know, so on. And of course, devotees love to do this. She gives them some warning and stuff. It makes them, you know, makes them perk up their studies and stuff, you know. So it's basically, it's just about it, you know. And of course, you know, it can be adjusted in so many ways. And I'm not sure how exactly it might work in Hawaii or if it might not work, you know. But the advantage, one advantage is kind of that it's rather than just kind of going through verse by verse, you can start looking at the thing in more like bigger natural components. That's one thing. And people can kind of plan ahead. And there is this kind of nice fruity motivation of getting a certificate. You know, Prabhupada wanted it, you know. And I'm hoping to go ahead and just do a Bhakti Sarvabhauma thing after we finish off this in March. Not go for the Bhakti Vedanta thing. But I wanted to do work out a 2-year Bhakti Sarvabhauma review thing. And devotees who already like have read all the books so many times, all this kind of stuff, can get into it and just, you know, go brush up their knowledge, fill out their empty spots. Maybe after a couple of years, then we'll have some kind of just one time, you know, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, a testing review thing. And then we get a lot of devotees before they die. When they die, they can get their Bhakti Sarvabhauma certificate and maybe integrate it with some university so that there's a certain level of academic respect for it. Then everybody can see, you thought these Hare Krishnas were all just, you know, drug addicted hippies or Indian, you know, Indian families attached. But we see actually, they're very, very learned scholars in their subject matter, and they're producing so many beautiful papers. You know, there's a lot of work, a lot of stuff going on in this high end educational area, and devotees are getting more and more involved in these debates over, you know, what is right and what is wrong, and what is Indian philosophy and culture and how it can contribute. You know? So kind of, they can stop there. If anybody has any kind of comments or questions, then I can try and, like, you know, give our ideas. But you can see we're pioneering this. You know?
Maharaj, I've had discussions with devotees, and I have several concerns, need more clarification. I have a whole bunch of questions here. Would it be okay if I just kind of shot them out to you, and then we can cover them?
Yeah, maybe one at a time, huh?
Okay, if you want to do one at a time. All right. Let's take maybe the most important ones first, then.
Okay.
Most important. Although you did mention this about how it's not just academic, but it actually changes character. But that was maybe the chief concern, that don't want to turn the study of the Bhagavatam into an academic study, but and then lose the devotional focus.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Also, it applies to any service, you know. I if you're a cook, for example, you don't want to turn it into just, you know, cooking for sense gratification and lose the aspect of, you know, of a devotional attitude like that. Or if you're a parent, you know, raising my kids just from a materialistic point of view rather than devotional attitude. So it's true in everything. It's always there, and it's a fact. You know, you got to fight with it constantly and stuff. But obviously the basic principle of that, because I would have given it up too, is that Prabhupada wanted it, you know. And Bhakti Siddhanta also had the same diploma, but it was rigorous, yeah. And so on. So I think it's just natural. Any service, you want it to become a material thing. And on the other hand, yeah, you can do academic study of the Bhagavatam, yeah, or else you can just pick it up at random and just read things at random and stuff like that, and also benefit. You know? So that's what I would say is the kind of generalist perspective. I would say it's not exactly for it, because that's what Uttamadhikari means. Uttamadhikari means that he's developed his knowledge of the Shastras and his logic, which means logos, which means he can put it together. For example, if, you know, we have to understand what are the different levels of devotional service. If we don't have any kind of knowledge of this, it's going to be difficult to figure out where we are and relate to other people and make and what's the process at this level. You know, yeah, there are different medicines at different levels. So if we understand that with some intelligence, you know, then that can link us up and focus our devotion so we can start getting the real taste like that. So logical understanding of the Shastras is actually part of our service. Karma Mishra Bhakti Yoga, you know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yoga, Dhyana Mishra Bhakti Yoga. And then finally, you know, just working purely on the level of bhava, but that's, you know, that's very high. And automatically will include learning verses and understanding their relationship and so on. Yeah. So that's okay?
Okay, let me just go through about five questions, and then after that I'll open it up for everybody else. Then maybe the next most important question is that some devotees are really don't want to even consider, you know, about getting a degree, certificate, diploma. It's, you know, not in the least interested in that. They're interested in studying the Bhagavatam, but not getting any acknowledgement or going towards having a degree or anything like that. It almost seems like it's fruitive.
Yeah, again, this is come back to the same point, is that one of the most fundamental reasons this exists is because Prabhupada suggested it several times, and he continued with it. And from the very beginning, he was giving, you know, offering certificates and you know, that kind of thing like that. So, you know, he says one lecture, he gives a whole very complicated lecture, and he says, so if you think it's too complicated reading all these books and everything else, then just chant Hare Krishna and take prasad. You will become perfect. Nothing else needs to be done. You know? Yeah. But to accelerate the process, everything else, yeah, studying the books. So the examination of, it's a whole, if you're a teacher, you know, it's more difficult to write a good examination than it is to take a good examination. The questions aren't obscure, you know, they're actually stimulating. So working on this very hard, we're satisfied. The result is the students come out after maybe 1 hour of testing for the Bhakti Shastri, and they're smiling. They thought, wow, now I can, I learned so much from the test. I learned how much I know, and I learned how much I don't know, you know, and I'm motivated to go on like that. So the examination is an opportunity for self-examination, you know, and also in terms of standard examination to see like how I am in terms of like other community. It does give a kind of standard qualification to people all over the world in terms of this development, that we know all of our sannyasis have a certain level of competence, that all of our Brahmins have a certain level of competence, you know, like that. It does show to the external world, you know, what we're doing, like that, and so on. But Prabhupada says that Nanda Maharaj, he said Nanda Maharaj couldn't read and write. He said that he would hire some educated fool to do it for him. He says, what to speak of the girls, you know, the gopis. But he said because they would go to lectures given by the brahmanas and see puppet shows and stuff, they knew everything, you know. So you don't have to, like, maybe, like, you know, formalize it in terms of this program or something. But Uttamadhikari means, yeah, that you do have a logical understanding of the scriptures and stuff like that. And you love them. You love the verses. You love the stories. You love the, you know, the logical explanations depending on your nature. On. You know? So that's what I would say, is that it has many reasons to do it, and also some people, okay, we've seen that in Texas, I mean, many places. Some people want to come sometime casually to the classes. Some people want to come to study and do all the work, but when it comes down to the work of actually certification, sometimes they usually don't want to do it because it's just too time-consuming or something at this point in their life. And other people, yeah, they're very satisfied to do it all, and then even like for sannyas, it's becoming required then. The same way Bhakti Bhai Baba, you know, there should be a certificate. Okay.
Okay, if I could just ask one or two more questions that came up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so one thing is that we're talking, of course, with our Sangha, I can't imagine that we would be able to, if we did incorporate something like this, it wouldn't be possible to continue on as we are just covering one or two verses a day and add on this proposal. We would have to be one or the other. But to go from studying one or two verses a day to covering an entire chapter in a week is a great departure from what we're doing right now. Is it possible that we can keep at the same pace as we are right now, or would we have to speed up drastically?
No, that's the whole thing. You could, again, we're pioneering this, really. Honestly speaking, it's just, and therefore we give ourselves a lot of slack. For example, going through this, we're discovering that some chapters can be take 2 weeks, even the way we're doing it. And we're discovering that other chapters can be combined together, you know. So even things as simple as that in terms of our pace, our pacing. And it's practical. We're discovering, yes, for working people, chapter a week is just kind of like, you know, because everybody takes a certain amount of study time. And usually the chapters, for example, like this chapter, you've got 30 verses, not uncommon. So you've got 6 days, that's 5 verses a day. And many times the verses, six verses a day, yeah. Many times they do fall in natural groups like that. You know, Narada says so and so, Sukadeva Goswami replies. But on the other hand, there's no reason at all why you don't go like, you know, one chapter every 2 weeks, you know, or one chapter a month, you know, something like that. I would say a part of it is just establishing some kind of rhythm, because it becomes a habit. And if you say, oh, what's my verse this week? What's my chapter? You know, and everybody kind of gets into it, and then it becomes this wonderful sangha in the sense of going through. Vaisheshika, big, you know, his fanatic book distributor there. In the beginning, he was kind of doing it just to support it, but as it went on, and now he's coming like a super fanatic guy about, you know, okay, we're going to do bhakti bhava, bhakti, what's it called, Vedanta after this, aren't we, you know. So, because you see, it does work out as being very natural as a group, and you really see now I'm actually meticulously studying the Bhagavatam, and it supports it incredibly. Prabhupada's books incredibly support a logical understanding like that. They just fit right into it, so natural a way to catch them, you know. So you could do it, you know, I think you should probably adjust it in terms of Hawaii, and maybe, what's the first thing you study in school, the first year in the university? The first thing you study your first year in the university is how to be in the university. The first thing. What does it mean to be here, this and that? So, okay, you start off with the first, you know, two cantos, and just maybe just focus on those. There was going to be a separate certificate for that, but we just decided, no, every center can do it individually like that. It's part of the Bhakti Bhai Baba thing. But it's actually a very, very nice study. You could go after you finish off your second canto, you could go back and go over the first two cantos in kind of like a sort of systematic overview fashion with some verses, and then, you know, just test on it and stuff like that. So I would say it's very flexible in terms of how much you want to do, but I think definitely it's a fact that doing one verse a day is difficult. If you know yourself, is it, you know, not that much material in one verse, so you many times what we do in our classes is today's verse, but the speaker can cover as many verses as they want to, you know, and so that way it allows for, like, you know, to include enough verses to cover fill out the study time. But if you know how many verses are kind of packed together, then you can, okay, can you cover verses 3, 4, and 5, you know. So that's what I would say, is you can adjust it however you want to, but in many ways it's more natural, much better to be able to cover, you know, a few more verses, a few less each class like that.
Very good, Maharaj. I have several other questions, comments that came up, concerns, but I'm going to hold off. And I just remind everybody that no one is muted right now, so just make sure that there is not too much background noise where you're coming from. I'll stop now. I ask others, do you have questions you would like to ask Maharaj about, comments about it?
It would be great if you had a separate, an ongoing throughout Mayavadi Khandanam. You got to show them. And then defeating the six philosophers, Gamada, Patanjali, and Kapila. This is very, because Francis, you cannot sit on the Vyasa Sun unless you know how to defeat these atheistic philosophies. Then, even go and defeat, what is Aristotle, Socrates, Plato? Kick them in the where they belong.
Or else glorify them sometime, because some of Socrates' stuff is very nice.
It was stated that Pythagoras learned everything in India.
Oh my goodness!
Except John Adams. John Adams. I don't know. But what I say, there was no one way sign between Greek and India. You know that we learn in the West, and it's all racial. You know, if you're not white and European, you know, you're over there, and you're with the brown people, and everything started to come over this way.
Wow.
It's not that way. So, and you got to maybe touch on the Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, the other Vaishnava, Madhva, Ramanuja.
If we're doing this like, you know, as people grow up naturally, which is happening now more and more, with these preschool things, we're seeing that, you know, we're starting off with preschool. And very nice studies, Christian conscious studies, going right into primary school. There's a very nice Sanskrit study program now for first through third grade. It's excellent, with all kinds of cards, conversational Sanskrit. And the fourth through sixth grade one will be finished soon. And very fun. And then by the seventh grade, eighth grade, you're reading Bhagavad Gita just fluently. You know? Okay, so the idea is that these courses pretty much are just overviews. And all the things that you're bringing up, we're just going to go... You know, pass through them, and so what you're talking about is going on someplace. You know, they're focusing, but this is more like more advanced study. You know, the Bhakti Bhai Bhava degree. You've read all six cantos one time, and you're watching out for these topics and stuff. But then to go into it in more depth, that's like almost like postgraduate. Then, you know, where you do go ahead and write specifically on, go through again, and teach it. But as you're going through, you're picking up all your comments about. You know, Aristotle and Socrates in comparison, you know, with European philosophies and stuff. Yeah. So I would, you know, so I would say this is an overview, and then later on, and there's so much work we can do. And devotees are doing this now, starting to do this kind of work like that in the academic area. You know, it's there, you know, it's slow, but these kind of ideas actually float down to the lower level over the years like that and stuff. Aristotle came into the West through Thomas Aquinas.
You know,
And he got.
Is that what they call Hellenistic interpretation of the Bible? There's some big break that happens, Council of Trent or something, and they call it Hellenistic.
I don't know about that. You know.
I don't know.
But it was Thomas Aquinas. Aristotle's stuff was lost, and then Thomas Aquinas got it through Arabic translations. And he said, this is the way to explain the Bible, you know, in terms of rational divisions and all this kind of analysis stuff. And so you can see that there were definite choices in academic history which have influenced us ever since. And so we can make those same changes now, you know, from our perspective. It will last for hundreds of years. You know,
Bible has some, you know, about the Pentecostal, means the 70 days of Daniel.
Oh my goodness!
Oh boy! And it fits in with Jesus' Leela to the minute. And then there's another one that makes another calculation, and there's a gap. And they're called the Gap people, and they got burned, and then there's a 10 years war, and then, but they calculate this.
Yeah.
The prophecies of Daniel, and Elijah, and Ezekiel, and
Waking up. Yeah, if Christians would just go back to their tradition with some perspective from the Bhagavata, that's enough. You know?
Maharaj, actually, if I could just interject one other concern that had come up. Actually, I have some other concerns, but let me just bring this one up. There are some devotees that I've spoken to that really don't want to, like, are not interested in exams or tests or even being assigned verses to study. They would like to, you know, learn verses that they're inspired by, but not be told that you need to memorize such and such verses. So we're a sangha that meets on a daily basis. Is it possible to, does everybody have to follow the same course of rigorous study in order to take advantage of this?
Again, we can generate. See, for example, I would like to do it differently. You know, the Anjana Sutta Academy is completely esoteric, and his two most prominent members are Tom Brown and Buck White, who are also known as Monkey and Piggy. So I never realized where I got. I saw them in one little book, but you know, the thing I saw. And later on, I realized who they are. There's a very, very famous Chinese classic called Journey to the West, and it's a super classic. If you know that book, you know Chinese people. Even Chairman Mao didn't get rid of it. He just converted it to a communist perspective. And it's right now, there are big movies coming out based on it. You know. So anyway, this monk is going from China to India to get higher scriptural knowledge. And so on the journey, one celestial monkey and one celestial pig and a couple more guys accompany him, so on, you know. So they have different character. They represent different things. And I was born on Guam, so I think I was a Chinese monk. Ended up in a white woman's body. Yeah. And born with a white man's body. Yeah. So anyway, I have my own way of studying and everything else. And so simultaneously, but I go on with this exactly for that reason. The Prabhupada wanted something that, you know, everybody could follow. Okay. So we chant 16 rounds a day. You know, you follow the four principles, you know. No onion, no garlic. Okay, you know. And so I would say, but at the same time, too, there's flexibility and there's priorities. You know, okay, maybe no onion, no garlic and chocolate is kind of like, you know, even the GBC gave up on it, banning it, you know. So that's what I would say in general is there's a general, kind of a general standard. You know, you should have read all six cantos. There's certain verses you should know. And Prabhupada did this. There's sannyasis. The idea is this for Goswamis. Prabhupada, if you're a Goswami, then probably he would get heavy. You know, Maharaj knows this. You know, he would get heavy if people didn't know some verses and stuff like that. You know, give us a verse glorifying Guru and so on. So that's what I would say. That, and also the verse thing, we're also working on that too, because there's not, through our research, there is not 70 verses in the first six cantos that Prabhupada and the Acharyas used that much. But there are maybe like 30. You know, Satam Prasangat Mama Virya Sambudo, and verses again and again. And once you start to notice them, you see, oh, these are seminal verses. Using them, memorizing them, reading them. There's a reason the Acharyas use them. And all you have to do is whenever Prabhupada quotes a verse, you just don't skip over it. You just actually take a couple seconds to chant it, and then you start memorizing them. You start reinforcing them. Then beyond that, there are many, many verses in the purports, in the first six cantos, which, like, for example, what's the famous verse? Chetananam, Yobadadati Kaman, Nityo. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam, Eko Bahuda, Yobadadati Kaman. That's in the Katha Upanishad, 2.2.13. And so theoretically, you could go all the way to Bhakti Sarvabhauma and never memorize that because it doesn't occur in any book. But you should know it right from the beginning. Practically speaking, from Bhagavad Gita, it's quoted again and again and again. And it's such a powerful verse, you know, for dealing with people who are saying, I'm God, you're God, the Vedas say this. No. You know? So that way, then also the 70 verses we're proposing, they should include maybe like about 30 verses that are very prominent, Sutta Shiksha, Srimbhatan Swakata Krishna, Punya Sravana Kirtana. And then after that, they should include a lot of these primary verses that are cited by Prabhupada and the Acharyas again and again. And then after that, okay, your own verses. You pick out your own verses and just get it approved by your group leader. For example, I'm memorizing the prayers by Hanuman in the fifth canto. You know, I like those. So that way, applying, you know, giving both personal interest and then what do you call it, you know? And all you have to do is put the verse of the week on your refrigerator door, and every time before you open the refrigerator, you got to chant the verse. And it's amazing how fast you learn the verse. Yeah. Oh, yes, my pizza verse. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah. Sure, I'll hold other questions. See if others have would like to make comments, questions, etc.
So, Maharaj.
Yeah.
You mentioned this goes all the way to preschool.
From preschool, yeah.
Right. And so I'm generating some illustrated children's books. And I, how would I get involved with the education at that level?
Okay, what's actually happening, see, basically, nobody wanted to be in charge of the Ministry of Education because everybody did it fell down. Like Harvey Cage, Akadish. So no GBC said, so Sasha said, look, you know, if you change the name to the Ministry of Educational Development, then I'll handle it for you. So basically, all he did was just like, because all he could do, because there wasn't like a lot of support or interest, he just got kind of monitored stuff and people would check in with him. He'd say, okay, great, sounds okay, go and do it. And if there was like a big problem coming up, then he would then come down heavy, you know, because he can do it, a lawyer, you know. So, but generally speaking, all it was just basically a kind of monitoring system for many years. And then when, now that trying with this Gopal Bhatta and the strategic planning team, they want to get it going, the importance is really there. Any institution that hasn't got a good, healthy educational system, forget it. You know, the Buddhists with Ashok, the Mormons with Brigham Young University. So then Ram Giridhari now has been the most effective executive guy. He has his own business in Bombay. His teachers, parents were teachers. And he works with Pranadas, who you may know, who's from was a Gurukul headmaster in Australia for a long time. So basically you've got a Vaishya and Brahmana. What's the word, combination. So one of the first things everybody wanted was two things. They wanted regional representatives and they wanted a database, resource, information thing. So that comes down to the web page. So we're trying to get the web page going. We're trying to get regional representatives going. And you could become a regional representative if you want to. And staying in touch with me a little bit. Then the idea, of course, is that all this stuff will go onto the web page under, like, for example, like resource materials. They'll be categorized and stuff. The actual primary school programs and preschool programs that are going on, there's the Avanti School program in England. They are a government integrated program, so they have to teach evolution, you know, in the class.
Oh,
they
my have God.
To. Yeah. You're kidding. But all the kids know, you know, we have to teach this, and that's why we're learning it. So they're almost learning it like, here's what the enemy says, you know. But simultaneously they get full funding, from the government. So this is one of the things that are going on. So then other program is Goloka Education. You can look at golokaeducation.org.com. And that's what Ram Giridhari and Prana are doing as an educational thing. He has a thing called Garunga Tech, which is his business, employing 40 people. So they have a franchise called Goloka Kids.
Right. He just contacted me. It's a work in progress. But, he just emailed me a week or two ago.
Okay. So I've helped them so much get going in the U.S. So in Houston, they have two franchises set up right now, and we're starting a third one. They're starting it in San Jose. And I've already gone around here, and as it starts to get going and how it's going to get going and stuff, you know, so he's the person to contact. Then after that, they don't do the franchise, but they're setting up a consultancy for the primary schools. That means we'll train your teachers, we'll supply you curriculum, and this and that and stuff. But it's your school. You know, legally, you set it up and you take care of your own taxes. But we'll give you all the consultancy you need to do it. So that's the model right now, and he's the person. That if you got in touch with him, and he's like, you know, again, my experience is if Abisha does, you know, 70% of what he says he's going to do, he's a saint. saintly person amongst Vaishyas. So I've had a nice experience working with Ram Giridhari and stuff. He's like, you know, very enthusiastic and stuff. But yeah, okay, so I'll have it back to you by Friday, Prabhu. Okay, you know, okay, probably Monday we'll get it done, you know. But that's okay, you know. And Prana's the exact opposite. He's very systematic. He's doing the Sanskrit curriculum. And also English now, too. You're doing a whole Krishna conscious, you know, program which teaches you English along with it. You know, for primary schools. Yeah. There's 5 primary schools in the U.S. working right now. That's it. You know, 5. And they're all doing okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
What about these seminars that we have on Saturdays? You know, could this be formatted in such a way that it would be a homework-oriented sort of thing? And, you know, you would cover the chapters or whatever, however it's done? So, I mean, we already have that system in place, meaning one day a week there's a seminar or something.
That's what we do with our San Jose and our other thing is that, but the only thing to add is everybody has a study partner, which you rotate every semester and twice a year.
In your study, you just mentioned that could be someone online.
That's what is online. In San Jose, nobody gets together physically, almost, with one couple. And us out of San Jose, we have Boise, Croatia, and people from Boise, Croatia, Peru, and San Jose in that group. We get together. Of course, I see them. I travel, so I spend a couple weeks with everybody, myself. Mm-hmm. And you get together, like in certain festivals, and you know, have big melas and discuss everything. Put on a drama, pregnancy of Ditti in the evening.
Can the Bhakti Shastri exam be available to somebody to look at to get an idea of how far they are away from, you know, acing that exam?
Yeah. The sample examinations, I think, you know, could work out fine, find them. But basically what it is, every year they do a new one. And, you know, after you give the exam, you got to recollect them and lock them up and stuff.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
But after that year, at the end of each year, it's like, you know, public thing. It's a shame.
Their exams online.
Yeah.
Their exams online.
No, I don't think there may be some samples on the web page, but I don't think so. But I could probably, you know, track down some of the ones that we've used in the past. Yeah?
Okay. I'll contact you.
Yeah. Because, see, what it is everybody has just kind of worked out independently, is all the questions are already there. You know, and the final examination is just selecting questions from the questions you already know. So maybe there'll be, over the Bhagavad Gita, there'll be a whole selection of questions. You select, each year some team sits down and picks out like a nice representative of those, and maybe adds a few more and rewrites a couple. But this is what's developed in most of the centers like that, is Mayapur calls it the question bank, we call it the so-and-so review, you know. The Prabhupada's original Bhakti Shastri was 5 questions, like that, something like that. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't pushing for too much gyan, you know. And so you meet with your study partner to discuss the content which you've been reviewing. You have some study guides to help you orient. It's amazing, too, because many people have the same questions about the chapter, something they don't understand, or else they come to the same points that are very prominent for them. So it's like the study guides are just fit right into what Prabhupada is saying so naturally. It's like Dhanadharamaras has his waves of devotion. You know? Yeah, they're just natural commentaries on Prabhupada's books, which are just, everybody sees the same things in them. So the study guides then, you know, help you, orient you, stimulate you, and you're building your own index. And then once a week, we have our program every Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning. This is San Jose time, you know. So the only thing I'm suggesting is just do this, formalize it a little bit, and then and that will help, you know. And then maybe just start off with the first 2 cantos, you know. And after that, see how it goes, and that was really good. Because it is. Once you go to the third canto, it starts to become more advanced. You can just see it. It's not just academic. In the first two cantos, you go, oh, yeah, Prabhupada means this, Prabhupada means that. In the third canto, you start going, well, what do they mean here? You know? And you know, in the fifth canto, well, why are we studying this stuff at all? And you begin to really appreciate how Maharaj Pariksit really wanted to, really had a passionate desire to know Krishna. And that's why he wanted to know about Jambadweep and all the rest of these places, you know. And they're not imagination. This is the way the universe is structured. And this is the way our consciousness is structured, because we're a part of this universe.
Maharaj,
you know? Here's I got on the screen here. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's almost 7 o'clock, and unless somebody else has something they wanted to interject, please go ahead. But otherwise, I wanted to, you know, maybe close up by saying that when Maharaj and I were speaking, he reminded me that we're almost at the end of the second canto already. You know, it's only got 10 chapters, is that correct? 10 chapters, and we're in chapter 8. So we're almost toward the end, and we were just thinking that if we wanted to do something like this in our Sangha, this would be a nice transition over when we get to the end of the second canto. We could review everything that we've already studied like that and then carry on from there. So it might be a nice transition. But I just wanted to stress that this is not set in stone. We are going to talk with all of the members of our Sangha and find out what everyone would like to do. Not going to do anything without making sure everyone is fully comfortable if we would like to make a change like this. So I just really want to stress that. Yes, Maharaj.
I do have a comment or two, actually, before you close up. I personally am an academic type person. I've spent many years of my adult life in college, and I like reading and writing, and I've also taught children reading and writing and memorizing, but through my adult life, I've come to realize that not everyone is an academic person. And as a matter of fact, maybe half or less really care for this, you know, studying in an academic way. So just so long as everybody knows that. Also, we've spent a lot of, those of us that have been listening to the e-sangha every morning, we've kind of come to be a group where we can actually trust each other and speak up and ask questions, and we're sort of a close-knitted group of devotees, and it seems like our e-sangha is geared towards temple-type atmosphere as far as, okay, now we're going to chant the verse and we're going to do one verse a day like a temple would. So I was thinking, perhaps if we were going to do an academic study, you know, Bhakti Shastri type study, we could do it in the evening class, and then devotees that really want to study academically and get their degree can be sure to show up in the evening class. It's just a thought, and you said you were going to talk to everyone anyway, so it's just something I was thinking of, because our morning class, we're like, if it's a holiday, we can talk about the personality that we're celebrating, or we have, you know, if a guest speaker on the island, we can have them speak, and we can be a little more loose, I guess is the word I'm looking for, in our in our morning sometimes.
Well, one thing that comes up, for example, is that every place is doing it. They sit down and make a customized calendar, you know. For example, like a lot of Indians go back to India during the Christmas break and stuff like that, or else there's a Jamashtami break. And so it is very much what happens is that people are doing these things. They make up an individual calendar in terms of their schedule and stuff, and then they even change it, you know, as time goes on to include somebody or like that and so on.
Hare Krishna. I would like to say I agree with Maharani Devadasi on that, that I feel that this extra type of studying should be a separate additional thing, and that we should keep our morning Bhagavatam classes like the way Srila Prabhupada showed us to do in the temples. Because, yeah, Maharani is right that not everyone is inclined in this way or going to be able to be this way. And we, you know, I like things the way they are right now in the morning. And if one wants to go further, then another time should be set aside for that.
I'd like to chime in, too. Boy, I thought I was going to be the only one that came up with this opinion. Thank you, Manajis, for your comments. I was thinking the same, that I have no problem with an addition to what we're doing, what's being done in ISKCON, but I would sure hate to see any changes in the format of the Srimad Bhagavatam class. I mean, I've been attending Bhagavatam class now for over 40 years. I attended many Bhagavatam classes in Prabhupada's presence, and there's a certain format, a certain mood that was there. It was just to come and hear the verse and hear someone speak on the verse. And I would be devastated if there was any changes at all in the nature, the mood, the tone, and the purpose of our Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm so satisfied, and it's that old saying that the fruit is in the tasting, or the proof is in the pudding, or something like that. I have gotten such strength and such a boost in my devotional creeper since I've been a member of this Sangha. It's working so well, and it's almost exact. It is exactly the way Bhagavatam classes were conducted when Prabhupada was with us. And I've got no problem with discussing an addition, but I would be not in favor of making any changes at all in our regular Bhagavatam Sangha that takes place every morning. So, gosh, I thought I was the only one that was going to say that, but when the Manajis jumped in and made it more comfortable for me, I thought I was going to be the one naysayer. But it's true that many people are academically inclined, but many aren't. Many people are more inclined towards chanting. Many people are very inclined towards kirtan. Many people are very inclined towards deity worship. And there's a certain sector that are attracted to the, you know, to this academic aspect. I mean, it just so happens I am one of the few people that does like to learn verses and to study, which I do. But not everyone does, and my worry is that when you have something like this, people that aren't doing it will feel like they're, I don't know, not with it, and it almost like it becomes a social pressure and a status symbol that I have this degree and someone doesn't, because we know from the story of the brahmanas and the women. The gopis, when Krishna and Balaram were hungry, they went to the brahmanas who were expert in shastra and mantra and tantra and all these things. They could have aced any of these classes. But the reality is that when Krishna and, when the cowherd boys were dispatched by Krishna and Balaram to get some food for them, and they were hungry, even though they were so expert in all of this, they somehow missed the mark, whereas a very simple gopi is, oh, Krishna, Balaram hungry. Yes, let's prepare something immediately for them. So, anyway, those are just some of my thoughts. I just worry when I see new things coming into ISKCON and being emphasized. Maharaj mentioned that Prabhupada mentioned about these classes, and he did mention, but it was never emphasized, actually. I mean, I've read all of Prabhupada's books and more than once, and listened to not all of his lectures, but many. And yes, he mentioned it, but it was not emphasized like chanting our rounds, reading his books, and, you know, there wasn't, if we look at the totality of everything Prabhupada told us and how Prabhupada instructed us, yes, it was mentioned, but so many things were mentioned. And anyway, those are my thoughts. I'm personally not that enthusiastic about it, but and I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I do want to emphasize, I would think it would be a travesty if anything changed the nature of our Bhagavatam class as it's currently conducted. Hare Krishna.
Yes. I totally agree. And I put in my chat here that doing that, changing that, might become overwhelming for some, and they might not, they might stop attending our Isanga classes. I really do believe that we should have that as a extra separate time. Anyway, thank you for letting me express my feelings about that.
I heard one of our senior members mention, and I won't mention his name, but they said that if we did change the Bhagavatam class into a study group working towards these various degrees, that they would prefer to just study on their own and just, you know, do the particular studies that interest them in particular. So if it's going to be, if we're going to do it, then I would highly, my opinion is it shouldn't be Bhagavatam. I'd like to see Bhagavatam as it is and as it always was, and no changes to the Bhagavatam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Mahesh speaking. I think that I agree with Narahari Prabhu about that. However, I think that to try to get this Bhakti Shastri certificate and study all the verses is a wonderful idea. Definitely it's a serious study of the Bhagavatam for some people, those who want to get into it. Maybe I was thinking it could be done in a certain period of time. Maybe it can be offered at certain times. Evening times might be good, but specifically when there is certain vacation periods or something like that. I wish I was retired so I could dedicate myself more to the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam in that way. I've always wanted to learn all those 70 verses that Maharaj was talking about. I think it would be a very good activity, but considering where we are, what we do, and where we stand, it definitely is a separate course, separate from our morning e-sangha classes. I think that's the way it is. But, you know, in this day and age where there are so many universities online, like University of Phoenix or Arizona, you know, practically all universities now are online, I don't see why we couldn't have our own, you know, Hare Krishna or Bhaktivedanta College online. You know, this is really an activity of Bhaktivedanta College, and I think it should be online, and so people could take advantage of this, and there should be like regular, you know, curriculum like any other colleges do. You know, the Christians have Christian academies and Christian colleges. You know, I don't see why we couldn't have the same thing, and people had the opportunity to study the verses in an academic way. One thing doesn't subtract from the other anyway. I think it's a good idea, but there has to be more thought put to it, and maybe the heads of the organization, the GBC, should consider sponsoring a type of college like that. Haribo.
I was thinking maybe it wasn't. This may not be a good time to discuss the details about it. More, I wanted to have Maharaj give us an outline of what it is, and then we could work on the details later. As I said, nothing is going to change without full consultation with all the devotees, the desires and like that. Although I would like to say my only apprehension about doing in the evening is that evenings, generally, it's difficult for devotees to come. It's not very well attended. Mornings are okay. That's where everybody comes, but in the evenings, that's where it's difficult for devotees to set aside the time to come.
Mahesh made a great comment with regard to deep study and with the difficulty of everyone having a different schedule and so on. And let me just say that back in the middle 80s, when I took the Coast Guard exam to become a 100-ton master, it was a really, really, really difficult test that took hundreds and hundreds of hours to prepare for. And what was nice about it, and at that time I was doing commercial chartering, so my schedule was busy and irregular. Sometimes I was gone for 10 days or 2 weeks out on a charter, traveling the islands with a couple or a group. And sometimes I had a few days off due to weather conditions or what have you. And when I took that course, what was great was it was all done by computer. This was the beginning of computers. This was before Windows. This was when they still had DOS. And there's a company that offered studies for the Coast Guard exam. And it's just, you come in when you want, whenever you have time, whatever days you have time, whatever hours you have time. And it was all there on the computer. You just pick up where you left off, and all the reviews were there. And with my very busy and irregular schedule, I was able to prepare myself, take and pass, do very well on that exam. So I like, Mahesh probably mentioned, this an online course for those of us that have such different schedules. And sometimes we may have a day where we have many hours in a day, and sometimes there may be periods where we don't have time. But to commit to one particular time where we all get together, unless we're all, gone to Mayapur or something like that, that's our life, that's what we're doing, that's one thing. But we all have such different lives, and I think it's amazing we're able to all come together in the morning for Bhagavatam and do that. But I think that if something like this were offered, the practical thing would be to have some sort of online course where we could all do it when our schedule allows. I like Mahesh's comment on that.
Hello, Ramananda, everybody? Okay.
Yes, we're all.
Because I think it's, for first thing, again and again and again, I want to repeat is that this we're pioneering this, and I would say everybody is doing this because Prabhupada, again, he did mention it quite a few times like that, and he wanted to get things started, which weren't able to get started. He wanted to establish Varna Ashram Dharma, he said. He wasn't able to do it, so on. And again, it is for a certain kind of people. It's like, I would say most people don't even have to read and write in Vedic culture. They go and they develop their logic, they understand the culture, the philosophy. They work hard, all day hard with the animals and the agriculture. Hear the Krishna book at night, drink sufficient milk, and go and sleep and dream of Krishna. So it is for academically inclined people. for Bhakti Shastri is for people taking second initiation, which means you should be either high class Vaishya or Kshatriya or a Brahmana. And Bhakti Mai Baba Prabhupada was suggesting, he said all the sannyasis should have this or become a Goswami, lady or a Grihastha, anybody. So that's one point. I think definitely, yeah, it is for a certain kind of people, the formality of it. The second thing is that there's not a single place I know of that does it every day. I mean, we're Raj Bihari in D.C. and Texas and ourselves. It's exactly like that. What you're saying is that people study on themselves. They do the reading and stuff. And then you meet with your study partner. That's the only thing of adding that. And to discuss it individually with just two people. Because that's a lot different than discussing it with, like, a whole group. And you do rotate study partners, so it's a real nice way to meet people. Definitely the calendars are usually scheduled for 9 months with a break, a lot of times following a local academic calendar. Because it is start meeting, the actuals weekly, only once a week. Once a week we meet. And those are actually recorded. And so people are going to India, this and that, and they can't get it. But the classes are recorded online, the start meeting, which includes all the PowerPoint shows. So, yeah, you might miss one or miss two or something, but if you're missing more than that, yeah, it's a fact. You know, you can't just do it at your own pace so much. But of course, real studies are, it's very difficult. Very few people can do distance education all by themselves. You know, the part-time association at least with other people is so motivating, you know, to keep the thing going. And the final thing, I think, is that the ultimate basis of the whole thing is that there's so much content in Prabhupada's books when you do it like this and discuss it and just go through things like that. And you feel such a satisfaction that you know the structure of the Bhagavatam and how it actually is a progressive study like that. So that's what I would say. Again, this is totally pioneering thing, and it's just a suggestion for certain people. And it's not, nobody's doing it basically like that daily basis, but everybody does do it on a sangha on a weekend, either physically and or online. Usually it's both. And the Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh is trying to develop a curriculum. I think they have it already online, you know. But then also we want to start also make a North American teacher training college in Tennessee, like that. So out in Hawaii there, Pacific Ocean, you guys could also have your own school, college. Yeah. And of course it was academic. Every single one of our situations is it's a classroom situation. Sukadeva Goswami, the Maharaj, Pariksit, Krishna to Arjuna. Of course the classroom situations are a little bit odd, but it is a classroom educational system. Okay. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, so Prabhu, we can discuss this later on. You know, it'll be some time before we finish the second canto. It sounds to me like changing everything back completely would not be a good idea, but maybe this is somehow or other we can add it as an addition to what eSangha offers. Maybe there's a way we can do it. So we can discuss it further as time goes on. And we'll just take it from there. So thank you very much for attending this, and we'll see everybody back here soon.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Nice discussion.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.